Hi, I'm Chief Bob Vasquez.
And I'm Dr. Jose Lugo Santiago. Welcome to Leaders and Futures. Let us have a new kind of conversation, one about leading as futures emerge, are yet to happen, or plainly need to be reimagined.
Someone has said that the best way to predict the future is to create it. Although it's impossible to predict the future, one thing is certain, you must lead in it. It's time to think differently about leading.
This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.
Let's get started with today's discussion on leaders and futures.
Hola, Lugo. Good week of thinking about last week, the president's weekend. I hope you had a pretty good weekend, although you don't do a lot of work, do you?
Actually, I could not sleep. Because my mind was constantly thinking about this thing that you said last week. We were going to myth bust these things about
myth
leadership.
Bust.
One of the things that you mentioned, and I was thinking about it, was that you mentioned about creating your own leadership style.
Yeah.
You know, it looks very, 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 very close to the heart, right? That's what we want to do. And that is so... what a fallacy, right? That one leadership style is going to get you through.
Yeah.
And so instead of developing a set of skills, but back to your point, work, you know, I guess it gets to the point where you want to do what you want to do, do it the best way you can, and with the people that you want to do it, so you can't call it work.
Oh,
there's
okay.
Some of it. There's some suffering through. But the best part of all of that, you know, is like at the end of the week, we, you know, we get together and we talk about these topics. You know, it really makes you reflect about your leadership throughout the week and how is it going to be better the next time.
Yeah, indeed. And that's the goal, that we want to make it better every time that we do it. So myths, what myth do you want to break up? I mean, everything that you've read in leadership books is true, Lugo. Don't you know that?
Oh, yeah. It's just like if it's written in the internet, it must be correct.
Yeah. I love John Maxwell. I know both of us have read plenty of his books, but I love his titles, the 15 irrefutable laws of this. Mm-hmm. You can't refute that. You know, I mean, if you read that book, you cannot refute it. So I'm going to start writing or titling my books that same way, so that you know, I can be whatever the expert is. And I'm not dissing Dr. Maxwell, because I've met him, and he's a wonderful man, and writes a lot of good stuff. But we were talking about these leadership styles, and we ended the conversation with situational leadership, which Ken Blanchard authored. And by the way, I've met him a couple of times, and you know what? Every time that I've met him, he remembers me. I go up to him to say, hey, Dr. Blanchard.
What did you do to him?
We can't talk about that. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Let's move on.
But every time he says, hi, Chief, how are you? And we ended up meeting several times in Chicago. Every time it was in Chicago. So anyway, but that goes with what we were talking about, like charisma. Dr. Blanchard is I guess he's got charisma. He's a very spiritual man. In fact, that's his position, chief spiritual officer in all of his companies, which that's what I want to be, the chief spiritual officer. But charisma, can charisma be taught, Lugo, or is it something that a person has? You know, it goes back to the question of, are leaders born or are they made?
Well, the myth, if you remember, one of the myth-busting things we were thinking about today was that one leadership style, right? One leadership style is not going to get you there. I mean, one of the things that you see, we talked about maybe last week, was about the LinkedIn, you say servant leader and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing too, is if you are a servant leader, just like we discussed last week, you know, who is looking forward, right, in the organization, or how are you negotiating, or how do you balance your way between the needs of the follower and the needs of the organization? And of course, if you are building the needs of the leaders, you're doing that because you have done an assessment of the needs of the organization, and then you are building the organizations through the skill of the followers, which is the point of servant leadership. But you're talking about charisma, Can we develop all of these things? I think we can. I mean, all of us are inspired by something. And some of times there are things that makes us go on fire, right? It's just, and once we're on fire, we just speak with this conviction, and then we begin to relate what we see in our hearts and what we can see in our minds with the current situation that is happening. And then when that happens, then we begin to exhibit this charismatic characteristics. You know, we think about charismatic leaders. So what are we talking about? We talked about last week about President Reagan, the ability to speak in narratives and communicate in narratives and having these narratives connect with people so they can see that we can be one team. And when we do that, then we can agree on these objectives. So then we can move the organization to this other place, whatever that place I see or whatever somebody lead other leaders said, you will go this way. And so that's what I think. And we're thinking, can we build charisma? Well, it's not about looking good, which it may, you know, in this era, people focus on all these things, right? We have Instagram, we have, you know, everybody creates some kind of persona.
Yeah.
So some of it has to do, of course, because there's going to be some kind of law of attraction. But that charismatic leader, when I'm thinking about it, is that leader that, you know, goes on fire and then is able to communicate. Different and transformational leader, right? It's sometimes those two are confused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I gotten to perform as a musician back in the Air Force. I got to perform for every president from Nixon through Clinton, which was a very cool thing. And the closest person other than Reagan that I came to be near, literally physically near, was Clinton. And Lugo, Clinton, like President Reagan, had this energy, this spirit, man, because we were outside in this particular moment. And as he walked past me, I could feel this, man. This is like, wow, what is this force? It's a magnetic force that's pulling me toward him. And we didn't speak or anything, but we just looked at each other. And that was very powerful, man. He didn't say anything or he didn't do anything. You know, it was there. So, you know, like the old question is, are leaders born or made? Well, I think the answer is yes. And there are some people that are made to lead. I remember a three-star general that I worked for that was really not a good leader. And she tried to be, and the team tried to make her, you know, try to teach her how to be a good leader. I remember her telling a joke one time in this forum where she had written it down and she read it. And the punchline didn't come through because she read it. It's like it wasn't her. She wasn't expressing it. She just read it. And I thought, man, you cannot teach her that. And so don't put her up there to do that because it works against her. So anyway, one of the things that I've been reading some books, some leadership books, because I'm a continuous learner, as you made me. And I know you expect me to do that.
Of course.
I will.
Everyone.
But I've found three terms lately, Lugo, that are interesting. Inclusive leaders, which I think I understand pretty well. Insufficient leaders, not so sure that I understand that. And customized leaders. Are you familiar with those terms?
Inclusivity, right? We have, of course, inclusive leader. Insufficient leaders, I think, is I do not understand it. I do not know the context that they're talking about. But in my mind, I think. I know what you're talking about in the context of what we are talking right now in regards to leadership styles. Insufficient leadership would be, in my opinion, a leader who is one leadership style, like we started talking about, when the organization needs you to be diverse and being able to balance, you know, the yourself across the organization so you can deal with risk, right? And getting things done. The other one that you mentioned was
Customized leaders.
So explain to me that one a little bit.
Well, as far as I can understand, that's in a way, it's kind of what we've been talking about, Lugo, that you have to have different styles. You can't just have one style. Now, you know, we're human and we're going to prefer a way of doing things, whatever it is. This is just the way I prefer. But like you just said, we can leave everybody behind and not be leading them if we only have one way to do this. One example is, and I can't think of his name, the coach for the hockey team that beat the Russians. You remember there was a movie called Miracle, which was, I think, the only time that the American team has ever beat the Russians in hockey. But the coach was brought this group of, I mean, talk about diverse hockey players from all over the country, and made them into a team that was good enough to beat the Russians. And he did it well. You know, we won the gold medal and all that stuff. But his, quote, success afterwards was not anywhere near what they expected, because here's a guy that did this. You know, this is a miracle that he did, but he couldn't replicate it, you know, because he had only one style. He was a hard ass is pretty much what he was. And it didn't work for him like it did for that particular group at that particular time. So, you know, I think we agree, different strokes for different folks. Different folks understand, communicate differently. We have to be able to communicate in as many of those different ways as possible. And now the diversity, ethnicity of organizations, you know, especially you work with a lot of civilian groups. I'm sure there's all kinds of people, colors, nationalities, cultures, genders, and everything. Well, how do you communicate with each of them if you only have one way of communicating?
Yes, and that is the challenge, because, you know, it's when I would go to a place and I had 400, 500, or 1,000 people in the auditorium, and I would say something, and it would be, I always say it, it could have been interpreted 400, 500, or 1,000 different ways. And that is the way the leader has to understand his communication is going to go. And that's why you have to plan your communication before you go to, you know, some of these forums. And you got to understand, okay, who's going to be in the forum, and ask all kinds of questions. You know, first of all, the question number one is, what do you want to communicate? That's question number one. And question number two, how do I best communicate it? Well, question number two, three, you know, these two flip-flop is, who's going to be there and what is the best way to communicate that? And then third or fourth at this point is, what do I do after the communication has taken place? And that is one way that to go to this place, because you got to understand that what you said was interpreted the way you want it. And something can be taken out of context. Some people go into a mental vacation as you're speaking, and then they come back and, oh, wait a minute, you know, that's not, I disagree.
Yeah.
Well, you just lost the last 15 minutes because you were shopping, you know, at HEB, getting milk and whatever else as I was speaking. Yeah. And so then that is a very good and important point, because in every type of communication, remember, we're talking about planning the communication. A part of that planning, there's always a level, there is some sort of and level of entertainment in the way you communicate, because you got to keep the people interested and you got to keep the people attuned to what you're saying so you can be effective. And then after that, you're going to have to repeat what you said, you know, many different times. So I was at a situation in this particular place where I was. And so I talked with the general. I guess I was complaining a little bit to him, and I was telling him, say, hey, you know what? I feel that we have talked about this several times, but I have to repeat myself again and again. And the general was very wise. He told me, you know, that's what leaders do. Leaders have to be broken records, because everybody's in its own season. And at that point where you are speaking, you're repeating, that is the time of Johnny. That is the time of, you know, Peter or whatever. And so that is the time that you got. So you constantly got to repeat yourself. You always got to communicate in many different ways so you understand. And then you got to test the communication, just like we do with strategy, right? We stress test strategy. We got to stress test our communication. Did we get there? And in that, how do we do that? We measure the outcomes. Yeah. Are we getting what we want? So that's, but the point here is, you got to plan to communicate, and you got to really look through that, and then plan to assess your communication after the communication has taken place.
Yeah, and as we do that, we got to be careful though that the listener is going to hear what they want a lot of times, especially if there's some contention here. You know, I'm a follower and I really don't support this, or worse, I'm a middle manager and I really don't support this. So now I'm listening to you through a filter that there are some things that I don't support and you're not going to convince me no matter what. So you got to be careful of that too, that's going to happen, because people are going to hear through their filter. You know, they're going to see through their filter. I had last week, I think I mentioned about this person that I worked with, Colonel Denny Leindecker, who was a genius. He truly was. And I still love him. He's still a good friend of mine. But he really strove to be an inclusive leader. We talked about that a little while ago, to bring people together and unite them and all that kind of stuff. You know, that you really believed in that. But, and you were, as you were saying, sometimes you just got to be more directive. You just have to. Sometimes he would not be, Lugo. And I remember many times the followers would go in to talk to him and convince him of something. And we had this discussion because he would often say, oh, great idea. So, you know, and this happened several times. I'd see them go into his office. I don't know what they talked about, but they'd come out directly to my office and they say, Chief, the colonel said we're going to do blah, 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 blah. I said, well, wait. He and I have not talked about this. Let me go double check this. And I'd go in there and I'd tell him, sir, did you just tell them that we're going to do this and this? I said, he would say, no, I didn't say that, Chief. I said it was a great idea. Well, what they heard was, we're going to do it. They didn't hear the great idea opinion thing. They heard we're going to do it. So, Chief, now we're the colonel and the chief are fighting each other because, you know, we're not, it's not that we were disagreeing. We just said different things, you know. And then finally, I think I trained him to say, wait, great idea, but go talk to the chief first. And it's not that I was running the organization. It's that I had control of the resources. We didn't have the money. It was illegal or whatever it was. And that was my role as his deputy to tell him, sir, we can't do that because you'll go to jail if you do. And he understood that. And then things got a little bit better as long as he did that. I'm not making a decision. I'm not saying what you want to hear. I'm saying, good idea, let's consider it. That's a lot better because, you know, it's like our kids, they hear, you know, they'll come up to daddy and ask him a question and he'll say no. Then they'll go to mommy and ask the same question and she'll say yes. And now you got mommy and daddy fighting because you said different things. And neither of them asked, did you talk to your dad? And what did he say? I can't admit that I've done that, Lugo, because I am the perfect father. As you already know, and
but you're talking about judgments, right? And I don't think the leader should pass. Of course, you got to be some kind of judgment. And basically, when I talk about judgment, it's analysis. But the leader passes a judgment. I don't think we should pass a judgment in regards to how the people are going to take a message, however they want. Right, they're gonna hear whatever they want to hear, because it is true for every single one of us that we listen from where we are, or the way we see the world is, you know, it's just the way we see the world. Is are the windows where we have learned to analyze, to think through, so that way we can adapt to the environment and we can survive in that particular environment. So I don't think. Is it when the leader is trying to communicate, is trying to unite people, you should pass a judgment. It is understood that everybody's going to get it in a different way. And so that's the reason why you have to constantly change how you communicate, get into small groups. If you have very big groups and you're talking to, then you do that. And then you evangelize to smaller groups. And then you go back to big groups and go back to small groups and key leaders in the organization, so you can test how your communication was perceived, and then you make adjustments. But again, I just think that you as a leader cannot be so focused on how somebody's going to get the communication and some people are going to get it wrong. No, you're planning for the communication. You also have leaders in there that probably should prep the hearts and minds of those people who are going to be there, you're going to be talking to. So when they receive the message, they receive it in a particular way. And the best way to do that is to start with context, because people need to understand, you know. So, and that's what happens. You spit something. Have you ever been in a place where people go and you know, they just pass by your office and they say, oh, you know, he said this and that. So that's the problem. You're taking it out of context. So frame the conversation within the context, and then from there, communicate.
And a lot of times I think, Lugo, the term, you're using the term context, which is good. That's a good term. But that context really is related to the future. If we have or futures, if we've done the work that we've been talking about for a couple of years about developing and even maintaining those futures so that we all know that's where we're going, then that becomes a context. In the context of this, let me say this, that you would think would be better. And, you know, you're always going to miss some people, but at least you have that common language that in the context is, this is our purpose. This is our future, or the vision of our futures. That makes it a little bit easier, I think.
Well, it depends if you're talking about a problem and you are looking at and you're doing change management, right? The people need to understand the context of the now and the reason why we need to abandon the status quo. And so then now we talk about the context of our pain. Let's put it that way. The situation we're in and why we're going to this particular future and how this future is better than the one we live in now. And so, you know, then you can frame the conversation.
Yeah. Communication is tough. Now, I don't know about you, Lugo, but it's time for lunch. And I have to go communicate to my lovely bride of 46 wonderful and fulfilling years where we're going to lunch. And
she's the brave warrior.
I am the type of leader that I will tell her, I'll put her at attention and tell her we're going to wherever I want to go. That's the way it should be.
Oh, really? I thought that you go, honey, we're going to go wherever you want to go. She's like, I've taught you well.
You know, the best way to do it, Lugo, and maybe I should write a book on this. The best way to do it is just give her the key. We're going where you drive us. In fact, okay. You know, 46 years, I've been going where she's been driving me.
Shouldn't be a team? Shouldn't this be a team?
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's just a team?
No, smile and nod. That's okay. The answer. We'll see you next week.
All right, we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. We hope today's topic connected with you and helped you reflect on the work leaders do to get out of a narrow focus on one future and into a broader range of plausible alternatives.
If you'd like to connect with us, find us at leadersandfutures.com.
And if you would like to learn more about leadership and future studies, we have several programs to help you at the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.
Until next time, be great.